I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Good morning, 611, 720 WGN. It is the Steve Cochran Show. All right, we survived the big snow, which was kind of a big dud. I mean, there was snow, there were accidents, there were cancellations, but...
apparently, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a ton of snow, but it was enough to just kind of slow everybody down.
We had...
or at least those who should have... Right. Some people didn't slow down.
Yeah, no kidding. It was a mess. Mainly where, Mary? I-80, I know, was just a nightmare yesterday.
Yeah, I-80, 57, that whole area. Mm-hmm. And to the west, even. East, you know, 88, those type of areas. They didn't get as much to the north, so...
550 flights canceled at O'Hare and Midway. If you're flying today or picking somebody up at either airport, you'll want to call ahead because there will be residuals. Oh,
and it seems like the light snow, not the heart attack snow. It's more the fluffy stuff.
Yeah,
which is good.
You know what it is now, obviously, is we all drove in on it. Just kind of a slushy, sloppy mess.
Yeah, it's going to be wet morning. And just hope all the wet conditions don't turn to black ice. That's what I'm worried about this morning.
And Grzanich, you said that there, well, you and Tim in the newscast said that there's a little bit more coming this evening as well.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Tim put out this map yesterday, a model map that said by the weekend, the total accumulation when it's all over could be like 14 inches for Chicago.
We don't want to hear that.
Yeah, because it's going to snow every day there.
We're all from here, or Dave, in your case, you've been here many years. Exactly. We're all used to this. We know it's coming. We know it's winter, but we still always say, oh, I'm sick of the cold.
Yeah, and if you think about it, we really have been sort of treated really nicely this year in terms of snow.
We have, yeah.
We really haven't had a lot of snow until now. So
Skilling had the map that said normally at this time for the winter, there's about 20 inches so far, and we're just over 10. I'm obviously not taking yesterday into account, but last week we were just over 10. So we're half of what we normally should be.
So it's... there's going to be more tomorrow, right?
Right.
Isn't that what they're saying?
And more
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm.
And possibly Sunday?
Sunday, Monday evening is the next day. So today, possibly, not today, tomorrow, part of Friday, Thursday night into Friday morning, and then Friday into Saturday morning, and then all day Saturday.
Okay, at least we have an upward slope. Like, okay, this isn't good. Today's high 18, then 20, then 21, then 27, then 30, then 30, then 31. So at least we're going in the right direction.
My car thermometer was zero this time yesterday,
yeah.
And this morning it was seven.
Ooh,
so I consider that progress.
It's progress, exactly. Yeah, just be careful out there today, and we'll have weather for you all morning long. And traffic, as we said, 500 flights, 400 yesterday proactively canceled at O'Hare, 20 at Midway, and it's going to cause a lot of problems as well today. So be careful. We got a great show planned for you. Top six at six coming up. We're going to talk a little Rags of Honor, try to help some homeless veterans out this winter as well. I'm drinking my Veteran Roasters coffee this morning. It's very tasty, and we'll be talking about that this hour as well. It is the Steve Cochran Show.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Just to continue the previous discussion for a second, I am so fortunate. Well, we all are, but you guys have to deal with it more than I do. I'm almost never in the afternoon commute anymore. So Ross and Lauren, my son and daughter-in-law, live in the city, and I watch Abigail Monday afternoons. So Abigail and I are hanging out, making crank calls, you know, doing Ding Dong Dash, things like that.
Ordering pizzas for people?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I left their place at 5:30, and I got to the Western Suburban Estate at 8:15. 2 hours, 45 minutes.
How come you didn't just stay by them?
Yeah, that's a bad time to leave.
I didn't have a crash bag in the car. We were just talking about this. You know what I need? I need like a TSA crash bag. You know, or you just have a bag of clothes in the car?
Right, right. Yeah. A couple of snacks.
Yeah, like Ryan Burrow. He keeps one at his desk every day.
He should.
He gets called out on a
Yeah, but that gets in our way. We usually just throw that in the closet.
Do you guys know? You guys are pranks? Like you open it, put stuff in
it? Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. Take stuff out sometimes. Yeah. Take his underwear out.
Drop a jackknife in it where he's trying to get through security.
Poor Ryan.
Oh, I forgot about this blade.
Item number one, the Dow fell 1,175 points. I happened to be near a television yesterday in the 1 o'clock hour. When the Dow was falling at 100 points per minute.
Mm.
It was fascinating to see that much money leaving. 100 points per minute. It got to 1,600 points down and then started to recover. Got all the way back to about 775, 800 down. And then
for about 30 seconds.
And then fell back to 1,175.
Right.
President, of course, has taken credit for rising stocks a tremendous amount of times. I don't believe he's mentioned anything about this.
We'll no. See. And the speech yesterday that he gave, did you guys notice, too, when he was bragging about different things, not the stock market yesterday, but he said, I'm not braggadocious.
Yeah, that's one of the funniest things I've heard.
We have to find that line.
We got to get him at Zanies.
Here's a good number for you this morning, Steve. $4 trillion. That's the number that has been taken off market value around the world since Friday when we saw the first drop in the Dow.
You know, Warren Buffett lost $5 billion yesterday in 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Right. He called that, you know, chump change.
$5 billion in 2.5 hours.
That was just what was in his wallet.
$5 billion. Okay, next. There it is. Yeah, okay. Look for this new commercial from Governor Rauner. More of the Blagojevich-Pritzker audio being dilly-dillied out in small doses. The latest one leans on race, where Pritzker talks to Blagojevich about possibly naming Jesse White to the vacant senatorial spot vacated by Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And Pritzker at that point says it could help you with the black thing.
Oh, God.
Which is not great for Pritzker.
No, not at all.
Thank you. Speaking of Governor Rauner, Governor Rauner condemns the Holocaust denier running for Congress. We'll talk more about this later. There's a guy who's running as a Republican who slid in very easily because there are no other Republicans interested. This is downstate, who believes the Holocaust was a fake.
Arthur Jones.
Amongst other things.
Yeah,
that's and this is the deal, because primary is coming up and we want to make America vote again. And we don't want you to vote by accident for this lunatic. Right? Some more on him later. Next. House panel voting to release the Democrats' memo on a Russian probe was unanimous yesterday. So now President Trump has 5 days to approve its release. There's no reason that he wouldn't. The major concern seems to be how much of it will he redact. Or more specifically, cross out with a Sharpie. Next. Lululemon announced yesterday that their CEO has resigned, saying that he fell short of the company's standard of conduct. Laurent Potdevin led the rebuilding of the brand after a major screw-up in 2014 when thousands of yoga pants were recalled for being too sheer. David, I remember you had to send yours back.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
It's too bad because they were very comfortable.
There was a point where Dave was in the studio. It was a sunny day, a lot of sun coming in through the window, and he dropped a pen and he bent over and I went, Dave, you have got to send those pants back.
They're very sheer.
Very sheer.
Yes.
And next, this is a sad story. John Mahoney died. John Mahoney, Steppenwolf, you're one of the founders, wasn't he? One of the original cast?
One of the founding players, yep.
Park resident.
Yep. And dad to Frasier and Niles Crane.
Super nice guy, too,
he's
right?
A great guy.
He's
on the show a million
times. Yeah.
Doggy daddy to Eddie.
Dead at 77.
One of my favorite roles still. I know he was in Frasier. I know he was in, you know, everything under the sun. He was so good. I loved him in Moonstruck when he was hitting at Olympia Dukakis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I just loved that role of him.
He's a great actor.
He is.
Do we know what killed him? 77? Heart attack or something?
You know, it says the cause of
death. Cancer, right?
Oh, did he?
He was in hospice.
He said hospice, but they, of course, the statement says cause of death not immediately provided.
Well, yeah, hospice is all likelihood cancer. Horrible. But a good man, and he will be missed. For everybody locally who is closest to John Mahoney, we're thinking about you today. Top 6 brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Rest of the show today includes Kid of the Week, obviously. Hey, Brian Bickle's going to be on. Bick's got a MS thing coming up that we need to throw a plug out for. Paul Coit will be on. We haven't talked to Paul live from London lately, or recently, so it's time to talk to him today. Coach Q, Hawks got to start winning now. When's the next game, Dave?
Next game is tonight, Steve, against the Calgary Flames at the United Center.
This would be payback for the 4-2 loss the other night.
It would be, and it's also important because the Flames are one of the teams in front of the Blackhawks, wedged between them and that final playoff
spot. How many points out of a playoff spot right now?
They are 5 points out of a playoff spot, and they are three teams out of a playoff spot because they have Colorado, Calgary, and Anaheim all deadlocked with 60 points, and the Blackhawks with 56. So they're 4 points beyond those three, so they can cut that in half as far as Calgary.
Yeah, you got to pick them off one at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
6:39, we continue live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's time for Kid of the Week now. And of course, we'd love to hear about great kids doing great things anytime. Go to WGNRadio.com and send us your submission for Kid of the Week. You can also follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show or Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show and send in your nominations there as well. Just a simple 150 words or less about why a kid is a great kid. And it could be a big thing, could be a small thing. We love it all. The world needs more good news, and there's lots of good news about kids out there right now that we ought to be talking about. Let's go to the phone and talk to Lily. Good morning, Lily.
Morning.
How are you?
Good.
How old are you?
I'm 9 and a half.
When are you going to be 10?
April 9th.
What do you want for your birthday?
Get my ears pierced.
Me too. It's funny, I wanted that too. I'm 56. Do you think it's too late for me to get my ears pierced?
No.
Does your dad have his ears pierced?
No.
Would you think it was weird if he did?
Yes.
But it's okay for me?
Sort of.
Okay. Generally speaking, though, you'd prefer it not to happen for me.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems right.
See, I think she knows you pretty well.
What do you do for fun, Lily?
I like to read, do arts and crafts. I like to hang out with friends.
So a lot of the normal stuff. Who's your best friend these days?
What?
Who's your best friend these days?
I have two.
Okay.
Brucey Steffes and Lauren Thomas.
Yeah, do you get to hang out with them all the time?
At school.
Yeah, do you get...
I'm 2 rows apart from Brucey and 1 row apart from Lauren, but I can still talk to them.
Sure, sure. And do you guys ever fight?
No.
No? They're just good friends. They help you.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the best listener? So I bet you are. I bet you're the best listener of the three of you.
Maybe.
Yeah, you can help solve problems because you seem like a nice person. Can I brag about you a little bit here from your nomination?
I don't care.
Well, I think you do, Lily, but I'm going to say it anyway. It reads, I'd like to nominate Lily because she's trying to better the small community of...
Mazan.
Yeah, do you know Mazan?
Mm-hmm, I do. And I love what she did.
She started her own newspaper. It's an idea all on her own. She also likes to offer help to neighbors with jobs. She's a great student. Loves to read, as Lily said. She has the most AR points in the school. Is that avid reader?
Yes.
Okay.
Nice.
And last year, she had the second highest point. She's also willing to do chores at home. She folds the laundry. She cleans up the living room. She brings in the garbage cans, all that stuff. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes.
How many?
I have one brother and one sister.
Older or younger?
Younger, both.
So you have to do all the work while they lay around getting credit?
Most of the time, no. That's me most of the time.
Okay. All right. All right. Andrea, would you like to say hi to our friend Lily?
Lily, I think what you're doing is so neat. Do you have an interest in current events? And is that how your newspaper is set up?
Yeah.
Little bit, yeah. Is it more about people in the community, too? Do you have different columns and pictures?
Yeah, what kind of stories do you have?
Yeah.
So far, I've gotten two of them done. I'm working on the third one. The third one does the FCC overnighter. There's also one about the Mazan market that's gone out of order. And there's also one about the softball sign-ups.
Cool.
So how do you know about all these stories? Do you hear your parents talking about them, or how do you know about this stuff?
I just I just know what's going on around town.
All right. Look at you. You know what? That's a good reporter right there.
Absolutely.
Know what's going on.
Lily, would you like to come see our newsroom sometime, maybe when you're on summer vacation?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You're welcome here anytime, Lily. And you can bring your little brother and little sister, too. But, you know, we like you best because we don't know them yet. You understand how that works.
Yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be either an artist or a baker.
Yeah, you said you do arts and crafts. What kind of arts and crafts stuff?
Mostly painting and coloring.
Yeah. Yeah, I do a lot of tracing.
Yeah, we've seen it.
I've done some tracing before, but most of the time I just eyeball it.
Oh, you eyeball. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you're freehand drawing. Yeah, it's good.
Usually it comes out really close to it. There's just some things that are a little bigger or smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool.
My drawings always look like crap. Oh, never mind.
Don't say that to her.
Yeah, that's the
wrong
word. Hey,
actually, what's your favorite thing?
I hear it all the time from my dad.
Wow. What's your favorite thing to bake?
So far, my favorite, I have only baked a few things, but so far, my favorite thing to bake is brownies.
Brownies? Mm. Yeah, that'd be great. Hey, when you come in, bring some. Listen, we love having you on the show. You sound like a great kid. Lily Pfeiffer, right? I don't think I said your last name.
Pfeiffer.
Yeah, that too. Pfeiffer, not Pfeiffer?
Pfeiffer.
Oh, Pfeiffer. Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm.
You got it?
It's tough, man.
She's got to stay on you.
Tough.
She's a journalist.
Totally tough, right? Lily Pfeiffer. And Lily, it's nice to have you on the show. And for being a great kid and kid of the week, we're going to give you a couple of things here. Going to give you the Lou Malnati's pizza. You like pizza?
Yes.
Have you ever known a kid that doesn't like pizza?
I have.
What? What kid?
He doesn't live here anymore, but he moved away a few years ago. His name was Jordan.
And Jordan didn't like pizza?
Yeah, he did not like it at all.
Maybe that's why he had to leave. Lou Malnati's home is Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of the 40-plus Lou locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. We're also going to give you an apt gift card, abt.com. You can get yourself some new pots. You can new headphones.
Thank you.
Thank you. So do you have your own cell phone yet?
No, but, well, I sort of do. I have to share a tablet with my brother and sister, but my mom got a new phone, so I get to use her new phone. I get to use her old phone sometimes.
All right. Well, your mom sounds like a nice lady. You always listen to her, right? And you never backtalk.
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
You be nice to your mom and you give her a hug. And your dad, too. All right. Hold on, Lily. I like Lily.
Like a leap put you in line.
Teaching her a new word, and turns out her dad uses that word a lot.
Sorry, I said crap. I hear it from my dad all the time. Kid of the Week, sponsored by you guys. So make sure that you get your Kid of the Week submissions in. Not that you could beat Lily, but you could try.
720 WGN.
It's 6:50. We don't have time to do this here, but at some point later, I'll talk about this exciting news. McDonald's fries could keep you from losing your hair.
Oh.
There's an ingredient in McDonald's French fries, McDonald's fries specifically, that could keep you from losing your hair.
Yes.
Now, I've had McDonald's fries before. I see the way you're looking at me, Dave. I've had McDonald's fries before, so apparently I didn't have enough of them. Because I've lost my hair.
Or the timing was wrong, perhaps.
You think maybe the ingredients have changed?
Perhaps.
Well, we'll get to the story in complete detail, but just in case you hadn't made your lunch plans yet and you're losing your hair. Hello! McDonald's French fries will keep you from losing your hair. Very important story.
I love McDonald's fries.
There's a Girl Scout who is in trouble for selling cookies in front of a pot store. A urban weed store. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on as well. The weed that she exploiting here. Mm-hmm. Where the people coming out of the pot store and buying 300 boxes of Girl Scout cookies in very short order. And that's the part I didn't know. Because I've been accosted by incredibly cute kids who I've given lots of money to outside of Walgreens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Walmart.
And supposedly, according to this story, the Girl Scouts are not supposed to be in front of retail places.
Is it true?
Yeah, because it's an unfair advantage against the other Girl Scouts.
I call it a good business decision.
Smart move. Exactly right.
But they have new cookies called the Girl Scout Snickerdoobies.
Snickerdoobies. Did not know that. By the way, the kid going through puberty here is John DeCoste. Wow. He's fighting a cold.
Is that what that is?
When it's time to change.
See? Yeah.
Wow.
Peter Brady.
We're glad you're here.
Sorry.
Always sold Girl Scout cookies in front
glad
of
you're
I didn't know that rule exists, Mayor.
I didn't either. No. I mean, back in the day when my daughter was Girl Scout, we always did.
Supposedly it's a national rule that you can't sell in front of a retail place because it's not fair to people who can't, I should say.
What?
Now there's a big controversy going on in the studio, and it's moving away from John DeCoste.
He's sick.
No, I'm not.
What have we said about coming in when you're sick?
No, I was sick before. I'm at the end of it. Yeah, it just sounds worse.
I told him, I said, don't you dare come to the tower today. Next thing I know, he's here.
I'm calling two basketball games this week. Do you think I could take a chance?
I think you sound fine.
Thank you.
I think you sound good.
You'd like turning into Zelig. That's Dave's job. That's not what's going on. What are you doing, man? John and I have a show coming up if he's still alive in March. We'll get a plug in for that in a second. But Texter rightfully called me out. I misstated something earlier. Arthur Jones is the neo-Nazi running for Congress.
Yeah.
He is in Cook County. He's running in the third
district, yeah.
Third district, right.
What did you... I said
downstate. Well, it's kind of downstate from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, based on our legislative maps and the way they're redistrict, it could be.
Yeah, you never know.
It's third congressional district.
But it's the third district. He's going to run against Lipinski.
Yeah.
And for those of you who just vote a straight ticket, you can leave that one blank. Because if you ask for a Republican ballot in the primary on March 20th that I know you're all going to vote for, or vote in, make America vote again. Mm-hmm. I don't want you just to go tick, 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 tick. This guy is literally a neo-Nazi, and there's no room for it. The Governor Rauner called him out yesterday. He's a nasty character who's run for about every office possible, since going back to the 70s. He was a spokesman for the neo-Nazis who tried to march in Skokie in the 70s. He said, the Holocaust is a lie, and I don't believe in equality, period. Is that a guy you want to vote for?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, just not to...
Is that Lipinski's district?
This is Congressman Lipinski's district. It's
how far south and west does it go?
There are parts of the city, Burnham Park.
Okay.
And this goes again with, like, if you take... What did you say? If you take a pane of glass and drop it, and it stretches all the way down to Will County, bordering Crest Hill and Joliet.
So technically... It's a district on the way to downstate.
Yes. Yes. So you're not way off.
Jackie's on the phone. Jackie's from Arlington Heights. Can you clear up this Girl Scout mystery?
Yeah. So Girl Scouts can sell in front of businesses. They just need to get approval from the council. I highly doubt the council approved to stand in front of this
pot store
dispensary.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But if there was, I don't know, a Jewel right next to the dispensary, they might have given them the permit for the Jewel, not knowing the dispensary was there. But they can definitely sell in front of businesses.
So the council is who that you need the approval from?
The Girl Scout Council. So each district has their own district council.
Oh, it's like a board.
Oh, I thought you meant like the city council from the town.
Ah, okay. So, Girl Scout Council/board says it's okay, and it's probably just a notification thing, you're fine. But they probably, as you said, would go, I don't know about standing in front of the weed store.
Right, right. Exactly.
All right, Jackie, thank you for that.
Sure.
I appreciate you calling in.
I still say that's a great business decision.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Can you imagine if she also had pizza?
Oh.
Oh, that would be the
pizza,
best.
Pringles, and Girl Scout cookies?
They wouldn't even have to sell for the next 3 years.
Of course, you walk away with all that food. You're paranoid somebody's going to take it from you. And then you want to lay down and take a nap.
We just call that Friday night.
So I'm told.
Wait, what?
Huh?
John DeCoste and I will be doing stand-up comedy back at our place, the Rouse Center.
The Rouse Center, yes.
Crystal Lake, when is that?
Saturday, March 24th.
Okay.
8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You, myself...
You Mike said 8 Tooley. O'clock?
8 o'clock.
Well, it's late for me.
I know, I know. You could get there probably early, like 8:10, something like that. So, but Mike Toomey, Tim Banker, A Night at the Row. We're back at the Row.
We haven't Stand-up been comedy, big laughs. How do we get tickets?
You can go to therowcenter.org on their website or call the box office at 1-815-356-9212.
And that's a that's a Blue Thunder
White Lightning.
Yes, that's exactly right. We'll take a break, come back, news coming up, and then after 7 we're going to talk a little bit about this remarkable stock market drop yesterday. And Brian Bickle next hour has got a cool MS event coming up to raise money to fight MS. Dean's back, he'll be on after 8, Coach Q after 8 as well. And Rick Steves.
The travel guy.
He's got a new book out. He'll be on after 9. All coming up on this Steve Cochran Show at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I've been stuck in
motion. 712, last word on the Super Bowl. A compilation of all the various reviews of the commercials from Sunday night. Far and away, the worst reviewed ad was the Ram truck ad with Martin Luther King's speech as the backdrop. A couple of them I forgot about. This isn't the good side. The E-Trade, This Is Getting Old ad, where the younger kids invest well and they're all into E-Trade and the older folks are still working at 80. I forgot about that one. And the Amazon Alexa Loses Her Voice, where you had the celebrities speaking for Alexa. That was funny. It's well done. And I think we talked about this yesterday, the Verizon ad where first responders were getting calls from people they helped to say thank you. That was a sweet ad. It's nicely done. And then the others we've talked about a lot.
You know, the one we didn't talk about yesterday was the Australian tourism spot, the Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, where Paul Hogan's sitting at the bar.
That was hilarious. I liked that.
That was really good.
It was good. NFL touchdown celebrations to come. Eli Manning and Odell Beckham. The payoff for putting up with what looked like technical mistakes throughout the game where Eli kept popping up. And again, apparently I'm the only one in America that doesn't get it. I thought the Tide ads were stupid. Never found them amusing.
I agree with you. And I love Stranger Things, and I love that guy on Stranger Things, but he's not really a comedian. He's not really funny.
No, I didn't get it.
I mean, he wasn't funny on Stranger Things.
It is the again, a compilation here, but it is the highest rated collection of Super Bowl ads. So good for Tide. They spent a lot of money. But now if you feel like you're hypnotized, you're going to go out and buy a bunch of Tide Pods. Congratulations.
Don't eat them.
Yeah, if Mr. Clean shows up.
They are easy to use.
I know. That was the problem, though, with kids eating the pods.
We're not supposed to eat them. They're just saying they're easy to use. You just throw them in the thing. Did you catch Mary making a little sex joke there?
A little bit, yeah. Tried to blow it off.
Yeah. Yeah, we caught it. Oh, see, here you go. Talking about football. Guess he's on the phone now.
Who?
The coach.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Morning, coach.
Good morning, Cochran.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, Cochran.
Yeah?
How are you?
You sound chipper.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I wanted to apologize for offending you when I called you stupid. I just assumed everybody knew.
Well, you didn't offend me. You didn't offend me. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I watched the game. That game was horrible.
What are you talking about?
No, it was horrible. It was ridiculous. So much offense. What a joke.
That's true. You've always been more of a defensive-minded guy, haven't you?
Best championship game I ever saw, 1924. It was sold out. There's like 180 people. The Decatur Staleys beat the Canton Bulldogs 2-0. 2-0, Cochran.
You say that's
Prohibition Salusky tackled Bobby 6 shots awry before the first snap Thompson. It was a beautiful moment.
So you're saying that's the best game you ever saw?
Best game I ever saw, Cochran.
Yeah. So who's your favorite defender of all time?
My favorite defender of all time?
All time.
Deacon Jones, Los Angeles Rams, middle 60s.
Yeah, I remember Deacon Jones, and he was on this show once, and he threatened me.
Well, that's why I love him.
Well, what are you going to do now in 6 months without football?
Oh, I'm still going to watch it. I got beta tape.
Okay, good.
I recorded a lot of games from the 80s. Uh-huh. So I got to catch up on Joey Montana.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to catch up on that.
Why is your favorite quarterback of all time?
My favorite quarterback of all time, Johnny U, baby.
Johnny Unitas. You like the haircut?
Oh, he got no haircut. That's how we all lived.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't a haircut. That's how it. That's as much as it would grow.
I understand. What do you think of my hair?
Oh, give me a break. I'd slap you, but that'd be cruelty to animals.
No.
You know, Cochran, if I had a gun with two bullets and I was in a room with Hitler and Bin Laden, I'd shoot you twice.
I don't understand all the animosity. I don't know what I've done to you.
Yeah, well, I wish I was there to give you a high five.
Yeah?
I'd do it in the face with a chair.
Someday, will you reveal why you're so angry with me?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. Mainly because I think your family tree must be a circle.
Wow.
Did you ever play for him?
I didn't, actually. No. No. The coaches I had were nicer. They just hit you and stuff. All right, Coach, last word to you. What do you got?
No, nothing. You're like the human equivalent to a participation award.
Well, that seems nice.
Boy.
I'm a ribbon.
You are a ribbon.
I'm a ribbon for everyone. All right, Coach, have a nice day.
Yeah, you too. You sound a lot better with your mouth closed.
More fiber. It's 7:17 on the Steve Cochran Show.
He needs a hobby.
Boy, there you go.
Sure does.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need.
Hey, yeah.
Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need.
Hey, hey.
Said I need a dollar, dollar.
All right, 7:22. You know, I would hope I'll get to Elise Glink in just a second here on the stock market falling through the floor. I would hope that Ross and Amy would defend me against the coach and other people, you know, if they ever needed to. So I understand why Donald Trump Jr. defends his father. But if I'm the president at this point, I would just say to the kids, I'd sit them down and go, how about you kids not say anything? Donald Trump Jr., direct quote in a radio interview. Direct quote. Are you ready?
Yes.
I see him. I know him. I've seen him my whole life. I've seen the things he's done. He is not a racist. You know, it's amazing. All the rappers, his African-American friends, from Jesse Jackson to Al Sharpton, they all have pictures with him.
Oh, no.
Well, then, case closed.
Oh, no. Come
Sorry
on.
It ever came up.
You know where you're right, though, sometimes? Just don't say anything.
Don't say anything.
Just don't talk.
Just don't talk.
Braggadocious.
7:23. Do you have the full quote of that from yesterday, Joe?
Yeah, I'll pull it.
Yeah, let me know what you got. Elise Glink joins us now. ThinkGlink.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've gone all cash in the last 5 minutes. Is that wrong?
I'm just going to say one thing to you.
Yeah.
6,600.
What
That's
is that?
Where the Dow was. 6,600. That's where the Dow was on March 9th of 2009. That is, we are still up 400%.
Yeah, you know, I saw an amazing statistic, which I had forgotten because I was barely an adult in 1987. But on Black Monday in 1987, the Dow lost a lot. That's why they called it Black Monday. And I believe it closed at 258. 258.
Yeah. And it,
not 26,000, 258.
Well, I believe in 87 it lost 25% of its value. And mm-hmm. So there's a lot of
over 30 days, right?
Scary headlines. Right. There's a lot of scary headlines about how this is the biggest, you know, drop in the history, single point decline, largest single point decline. And while that's technically true, and even, you know, in the middle of the day yesterday when we hit something like 1,500 points down, it doesn't even come close to what we saw in 1987 or even in, like, you know, 2000, 2001, when we had this more of an extended percentage drop. Looking at Europe, I have to say Europe and Asia looks pretty awful, but you would expect that after such a shock in the U.S.
Well, so, but then that's a chicken and the egg, right? So we hit the bottom yesterday, and again, it's amazing, as you just said, 1,100-point drop is 4.6%. But that's the numbers we're dealing with now. And does the chicken or the egg matter here? Because we started it yesterday. Does Europe follow, or does Europe lead us into more sell-offs today?
Well, technically, we started it on Friday. Mm-hmm. So what's important about that is when a market starts a correction, and I would say we're almost in correction territory. Here's the funny thing, right? We haven't actually had an 8% plus drop in the stock market in like 2 or 3 or 4 years. I don't know. Over 10 years, we've only had 2 or 3 of them. And so this incredible march up has had very few pullbacks. Pullbacks are normal. They don't feel good and they don't feel normal. And everybody goes, ah, but this is a panic sale. And I think it's unclear why everybody has suddenly decided today we're going to panic. What they're blaming is the unintended positive consequences of tax reform, which is, you know, if you step back and you think like a normal person for 5 minutes, is completely insane.
Well, I want to ask you about that because it's the greatest example of the two economies, if that theory has some merit. But Andrea, you first.
Elise, I initially heard that all the panic and the sell-off was because the Fed was likely to raise interest rates. So why would that cause such a panic? And would there be a surprise Fed hike due to inflation now?
So the Fed raising interest rates has been projected for, 10 years, really, or maybe 8 years, if you want to be fair. When in 2011, 2009, they were starting to predict hyperinflation, which we've never gotten. That's what the Republicans were predicting, hyperinflation. So what's happened now is suddenly wages pop up a teeny tiny little bit right after tax reform, and the Fed said, you know, inflation is ticking higher. So inflation is the scary word for traders, right, for people in the stock market, because the Fed does act on inflation. Now, what they had thought was, just, you know, putting it out there, they thought that Jerome Powell, Trump's guy, might not react the same way, but they all got shocked on Friday when they announced the Wells Fargo deal, because he headed up the Wells Fargo investigation, right? Before taking over as the head honcho of the Fed, he was the one, the point person for that. And so it wasn't Janet Yellen doing it, it was Jerome Powell doing it. And suddenly there was a question of, oh, maybe he will raise interest rates. And since everybody's freaked out about that, that's when the selling started. And I think that it's instructive to think about it, because 2 days and then overnight, we saw the overnight markets dropping as low as 800 points to a Dow open at 800 points down. So there's trading that goes on right around the world and even in our overnight markets when everybody else is sleeping. And so it went very, very negative. We're going to have a negative open, but it's pulled back a little bit. And I think what you're going to see is probably somewhere between 8 and 10% down total of the 3 days. You'll probably start to see a little bit of an uptick. And then there may be some more selling. I don't know. But it's not a long-term. I don't believe it's a long-term thing. I think there's still a lot of positive forces. The economy looks really good right now. And the stock market is looking out supposedly 18 months. So we'll see.
So let's talk about this theory that the economy's gotten too good, because it seems to fly in the face of common sense. But as it's been thrown around by economists overnight and into today, is the economy's gotten too good. There's too much hiring too fast, which will cut into earnings of corporations and deflate stock prices, which will cost me money. So I'm selling now.
Yeah, that's a lot of ifs. So when I look at the economy, I think, well, we had real salaries go up a fraction. I think it was 2.9%. Over the last 20 years, people have actually lost ground. We're not even at even once you factor in inflation in terms of the vast majority of American wages. So in terms of it going up too fast, I don't think it's going up too fast. And I don't know any companies that hire people before they have the business that demands the hiring. Everybody hires in arrears, kind of like the way Cook County pays taxes. So, sorry, just a little real estate joke.
No, I understand. I understand.
So when you have people hiring in arrears, you're really not hiring until the business is already there. So the business is there, and that's really good news. The economy might be heating up too fast, because interest rates have been as low as they've been in a long time. And so when you get to this point of the cycle, and all business operates in a cycle, it's been an 8.5, 9-year cycle. It's long in the tooth. And so traders know this, but they're trying to juice every bit of return they can get before the whole thing falls apart. And that's what they mean when they say the economy is getting a little too good, I think.
This isn't,
I think they mean too long.
This isn't individual investor panic, then. This is interest rate panic and bond market speculation from institutional investors, I guess, then, right?
And robo-trading as well. So now do you remember the flash drop we had? I don't know when that was, a couple of years ago, and the Dow dropped 1,000 points, and they basically halted all trading because nobody can understand why suddenly the Dow dropped 1,000 points. And they figured out it was done to kind of what I'll call robo-trading, right? You've got pre-programmed algorithms that are now pushing many of the trades that go on day in and day out. And so, and there are a lot of funds that are programmed trade. So when certain things happen, when certain numbers tick a certain way, these programs, these algorithms get launched, and they do trading that nobody's actually behind. It's just predetermined. And a lot of that kicked in yesterday, people feel.
The important thing for you to hear today is don't look at your 401k. Don't look at your individual stocks, your Scott Trade account, your whatever account. Let it ride, baby. Let it ride. And over the next few days, this too shall pass, because it is pretty good. And Trump deserves some credit for this, because he's the guy in the White House, and the guy in the White House gets credit whether he deserves it or not, and also gets blame whether he deserves it or not. And in this case, a 10% drop will leave us somewhere around 24,000. Well, that's pretty good.
Yep. I would say don't panic. It's going to be okay.
Now, she says this while she's selling the entire market short. I'm telling you right now. You know what they call her? They call her Shorty Glink. That's what they call her. Oh, yeah, that's true. Thank you, Elise, for that information.
You are very welcome.
ThinkGlink.com. She's got a new book coming out.
Oh, I love her books.
Yeah. This one has a love interest and a cute kid next door. Stand by, Elise. We'll talk to you off the air. At 7:32, we'll come back with the headlines next. And Brian Bickle's coming up. Bick's got something coming up that can help him raise some money to fight MS. We want to talk about that, too, on 720 WGN.
Kane down the left wing to the circle, fires a shot. Grass with a butterfly save. Hawks play with an empty net and six attackers. Keith on the left board. The chase beside the net. Put it in front. Bickle, did he score? Brian Bickle with a point-blank shot. Beats Rask with 1:16 to go in the third period, and we're tied at two.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Glorious
this
seconds.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:46. Our friend Brian Bickle has a new mission in life. He's fighting MS for others, and obviously for himself as well. Let's check in with Bix right now, because there's a cool event coming up. Hello, my friend.
How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Just currently dropping off my oldest at school. I'm a full-time dad now. It's the chores of being a full-time mom. It's life-changing, I tell you that.
Hold on a second. How old is your oldest?
She's 3, turning 4.
Wow. Time flies, man. Time flies.
Yeah.
Crazy. Let's get the plug out right away here. You're going to do a cardio class at SoulCycle Southport. It's 3 hours of unlimited drinks at the Butcher's Tap, which is right down the street. All levels of spinners are welcome. SoulCycle starts at 2. This is a Saturday, by the way. SoulCycle starts at 2. You get there by 1:30. Make sure you're ready to go on time. It's at 3423 North Southport Avenue. If spinning's not your thing, show up for the drinks. 3 hours unlimited. The Butcher's Tap, 3553 North Southport Avenue. Can't stay for the drinks. You're welcome to join the spin, too. $150 for the combo, SoulCycle and the drinks. $100 SoulCycle only, $50 drinks only. But it's $50 is cheap to drink for 3 hours. In the city? That's a deal and a half. You can go to Brian and Amanda Bickle Foundation Facebook page for more information. Google search it if you like. Bickle Foundation is where it will come up all over. BickleFoundation.org. So what's been the key to you being as healthy as you are? Is it working out? Is it the doctor's plan? Or is it a little bit of everything?
It's a little bit of everything. Obviously, you need to, stay in shape is a big thing, and keeping yourself active. I still... enjoy playing hockey with my friends and stuff like that, but it's not as, you know, competitive like it was, but it's still fun. Again, eating healthy, watching what you're putting in your body, and you know, that's the ideal. It's for anybody in life, not just people with MS. You need to, you know what you're putting in, and that's where you need to get out if you know, you put it in. So, and that's what I'm doing. I'm doing good. So,
and are there meds coming along, breakthrough type meds that you're hearing about, or is it just you know, science will come when it comes?
Yeah, they're, you know, the technology and what they've done the last, you know, 10 years. Even, you know, it seems like there's a new thing coming out every 6 months. You know, I stuck with the one I originally started on because it's you know, makes me, you know, feel the best, and sure, there's no sense changing when there's something new. You just gotta, you know, let it ride and see if anything comes up. If things come up, and then you kind of have to adjust and make some different changes.
Brian, I want to ask you about the event and your foundation, and because I know you've been dedicated to helping with saving various pit bull type dogs. What's the latest with that, and is this event going to go to help that?
Yeah, you know, we got approached to do this event, and we're like, yeah, more than welcome. It's something that, you know, I like to do. I like to cycle, and obviously the other thing I like to do, I like to have a couple of drinks. So,
man, if they had fishing at this thing, you'd be like, you'd never go home.
No, but, you know, obviously the proceeds go to our foundation. We work with pit bull type dogs, originally. Now we're, you know, that's obviously it's close to heart. We want to help out as many people and as many dogs as we can. All the proceeds will be going, you know, towards that. And, you know, we like doing events. We like getting people out. It's a Saturday. It might be snowing, like you said, but to get out and to social, it's something that I enjoy doing.
Yeah, it's a combo fundraiser, so people understand. You know, the foundation distributes money as it comes in appropriately, just so everybody's clear on it. Dave?
And Brian, how closely you've been following the travails of the Blackhawks here and the problems they've been having?
Yeah, it's been tough to watch, I tell you that. I know I was down there when they lost to the Islanders at home. You know, they're in that stage. They went through that stage, and you know, those early, you know, 2008, 2009 to, you know, eventually get where they were, but now, you know, that's the next door they need to turn over. The players are getting, you know, they're getting older. You know, we're not getting younger, and the game's just getting faster, and we're not getting older and faster. That's just not human bodies work. But, you know, there's going to be some changes, and they expect that. But, you know, they got some good pieces coming up, and I know, you know, they've been doing it for a while, and they did it the right way the first time, and I'm sure they just figure out on the way this time.
They will. There's no question about it. They'll get the ship righted. But we'd like to see a run here. They're only 5 points out of that last playoff spot. And I believe it was the LA Kings that clipped you guys going from eighth to first a few years ago when they got in last. So it's entirely possible. And, you know, got to have faith, right? That's the deal. Your life's all about faith. Brian and Amanda Bickle Foundation. Go see him this weekend. $150 gets you Soul Cycle and 3 hours of unlimited drinks. So really, the butcher's tab. Thank you for that. $100 class only for the event only, I should say. $50 gets you the drinks only. So you can split it up a lot of different ways. Details at the Bickle Foundation website at BickleFoundation.org. BickleLL. BickleFoundation.org. All right, my friend. Stay healthy.
Yeah, I will. Hopefully I'll see you when I'm down there.
Good. Talk to you soon. That's Brian Bickle from the Amanda and Brian Bickle Foundation, and he'll always be Chicago Blackhawk. Steve, just ahead of you telling us what's coming up at 8, I, after that, in just a couple of minutes, will tell you about a woman who's refusing to come forward and announce herself publicly, and it may cost her almost $600 million in lottery winnings. Details on that after Steve.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Dreaming about winning the lottery, a woman in New Hampshire was, and then she did. She signed the back of her ticket, which is a legal document, and now the New Jersey Lottery Commission is saying, well, you got to come out publicly because we're going to do a press conference. We're going to promote the lottery because you won.
They have to name you.
She says no. She is suing the state for the right to remain anonymous. In the complaint, Jane Doe, suing the commission to maintain her privacy, to have the trustee of a designated trust be the public face of the winning ticket and not her. The woman is requesting to be exempt from the right to know law in the state. The complaint referred to an example in 2016 when a trustee of the newly formed Robin Egg 2016 Trust was the face of a winning lottery ticket. That loophole seems to not apply to individuals.
Right, because you're playing their game, so right. You're playing by their rules.
The complaint stated the anonymous winner had followed the instructions on the website, signed her name on the back of the ticket, spoke to attorneys. She learned had a trustee sign the name instead, that she could remain anonymous if she had a trustee to represent her by way of, say, a foundation.
Okay.
So you're representing a thing and not a person.
Right.
But since she didn't do that, she has to come forward. It seems like a minimal request if you're going to get $560 million in return.
Yeah.
So why is she hiding? Theories?
I don't know. Maybe she has. Maybe she has something to hide.
But so many of those people are inundated from charities that want money from them the minute they
charities find relatives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scam artists.
Yeah. Fake relatives. Yeah. Coming forward.
Everybody.
Doe's concern for privacy.
I just got off the phone with her.
You were asking her for money?
Yeah.
Doe's concern for privacy comes from all of the things you're mentioning, including a murder.
Oh.
Do you remember this? I don't. 2012, Dee Dee Moore was found guilty in the murder of a man named Abraham Shakespeare, who'd won $30 million in a Florida 2009 lottery drawing. She killed him.
Oh, no.
Try to get his money.
Uh-oh.
Joe Romano brought something up, and try to forget the fact that he's Italian. You think it's witness protection, Joe?
Yeah. This is clearly a Meadow Soprano situation.
Okay, but if you play the lottery and you think, obviously she's playing to win, or she.
It is a she.
She's playing to win, you're going to have to come forward at some point to claim your prize.
Oh, she's saying the trustee picks it up as well. She better trust the trustee.
Yeah. Is that you, John? Are you the trustee?
That's why I just got off the phone with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But I can tell you this. If it was $560 million or coming forward for the hassle of coming forward, I think I'd take $100 million right off the top and spend it on security.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and then accept your money.
And good lawyers.
Mm-hmm. I could change my phone number pretty fast.
It's just something nefarious about this. And I don't use the word nefarious very often because I don't know what it means. But here's the reason I say that is because that's a savvy move to say, I don't want to be identified.
Yeah.
This is not some chucklehead going, I'd rather not be hassled. This is something going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
So let's trump this up. I believe she's an international criminal on the run from the feds.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah,
not totally out of the question.
Now you got a story.
Uh-huh. Now, yeah, that's pretty.
But then,
good.
Why do you play the lottery in the first place?
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Odds are you're going to win.
Yeah, she has to pay taxes on that too, so the feds would find out even if she didn't come out.
Well, the feds would know who she is,
right?
Yeah. Well, thanks for ruining my story, Steve.
I just thought I'd
shut up. We'll come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Bop, 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 bop.
Yeah,
what was that?
You know I love you more than what I should.
Felt like I broke something.
Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me.
Live to Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
I love when you do the scat jazz singing like that. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba, diddly-wada-boop-ba-boop-ba-boop-ba.
Oh, God. So good. You got tickets you might win for a Black Panther, a movie that Dean hasn't reviewed but he loved. Got a YouTuber story, got a Corey Feldman story, got a Elton John story. But I think we have to start with the sad news. Yeah. John Mahoney, far too young to go.
Yeah, this one really hit because... He, was with us so many times on the Sunday radio show here on WGN-TV. Truly, if people are going to ask me who are the nicest A-listers that I talk to, John Mahoney is near the top of that list. He is such a nice man, funny man, well-spoken, intelligent. Just fun to be around all the time. A genuinely nice person, only topped by when you saw him on stage. I saw him performing in film or whatever. He always brought it, whatever he did. But when you saw him on stage, It was mind-blowingly great, visceral. I mean, that's everything theater should be. Really touched your soul every time. And I couldn't be sadder that he passed away. 77 years old, had been in hospice for a short while. Famously private, they did not announce the cause of death. But he had been ill for a while. And what a legacy of work this guy leaves us, right?
Oh, nonstop. He was great. And what you said, always provided access. You know, it's a question I never asked him, and I don't know if you ever did. When he was on Frasier, he always looked uncomfortable with the walker. And the only reason I know what a person with a walker looks like is my mom had one for so many years. And that's the only time I've ever seen him look less than perfectly comfortable in any role he played.
Yeah, I don't think he was I don't think he really liked it because he didn't need a cane or walker.
Right.
In real life, they wrote that into the script, and he made it work. When I saw him not walking with a cane after Frasier came out, because I thought, well, you know, he's getting older. Maybe he needs a cane now or whatever.
Right, he's as healthy as a horse.
Healthy as a horse. And you know, he was great. And I said, what's the deal with the cane? He goes, yeah, they wrote it into the script. What am I going to do? he was that nice of a guy.
Yeah.
He could have made a big stink about it. He could have said something, but he just, every last person that I've ever met who has known, met John Mahoney in a coffee shop in Oak Park where he lived. I've seen lots of comments on the web, people, you know, reacting to his death, saying that they ran into him, you know, here in Oak Park or there in Oak Park or in a coffee shop someplace. Everybody said how nice he was and how he always took time for everybody. He was just genuinely a nice man. In addition to Frasier, which he's, you know, probably best known for, because television will put you on the map like that. He was an ensemble member at Steppenwolf and helped to create this wonderful adventurous theater company because they needed an older person as part of the company. Everybody else, you know, Gary Sinise and John Malkovich.
20-something punks is what they were.
They were all rebellious 20-something punks, and they needed somebody to play adult roles, older roles. And John, at 40 years of age, gets into acting. He was pursuing other professions in his life, always had a kind of passion for theater and always kind of liked it, but never really got into it professionally until he was about 40 years old. You know, born in England, came to the United States with his older sister, wound up in Quincy, Illinois, and then, you know, eventually here in Chicago. And he lived in Chicago permanently. No matter what movie he was making, no matter if he was shooting Frasier in Los Angeles, he would come back to the Chicago area and his home in Oak Park because he loved being here in Chicago. I talked with him so many times, and this Sunday on my radio show, we're going to feature some of the interviews that we've done with John through the years. But I just pulled a little clip where he talks about why Chicago was so important to him.
I don't know if I could have. I don't know if I would have wanted to make it anywhere else. I don't know if I could have made it anywhere else. Chicago, for a performer, is great because it just they let you fail, and then they say, "Okay, dust yourself off, and let's try it again. Let's do this again. Let's do it, and we'll do it until we get it right." And it doesn't matter if you don't get it right, perfect right off the bat. It's you know, it's just. It's wonderful. And I think a huge part of that, to tell you the truth, is the radio. I think, you know, when I think back at the times that I've done interviews with you and with Studs Terkel and Roy Leonard and, you know, all these people that I've talked to and all those thousands of people that goes out to. And I think Chicago is a great, great radio town.
Cool. I never heard him. I never heard that take. That's great.
Yeah, he's I'm taking this one very personally.
I understand.
He's such a good guy. Movies like moonstruck. I was watching some clips of him.
It's a great scene-stealing moment.
Famous scene-stealing moment in the restaurant where the young college student throws water in his face, and he tells the waiter to, you know, get rid of any memory that she was ever there and bring him a big glass of vodka. He was so great in Eight Men Out, in Barton Fink, Hudsucker Proxy. Go down the list. Anything that John Mahoney was in, American President, he made better. And I will miss him greatly. He was, I think I mentioned, 77 years old.
We'll come back, talk about some other things in entertainment.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9 72. Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh. Back on the Steve Cochran Show, Dean Richards, live at Channel 9. A wonderful new scientific study is out, Dean, that's deeply depressing for you and me.
Have something to do with handsomeness?
Yeah, you could say that. Researchers say 40% of men experience a noticeable hair loss by the age of 35. 65% of men by the age of 60.
Oh.
And the one thing that could cure us all, more McDonald's fries.
What you got? Do I have to rub them on my head?
Well, that's what I thought. Professor Junji Fukada of the Yokohama National University, or as we like to call it, old YNU, just published a paper announcing the discovery of a new method for the mass production of hair follicle germs. Germs. That's right. I said germs.
Yeah.
A key ingredient in this new method is a chemical with a very long name that happens to be one of the primary ingredients in the cooking oil that McDonald's uses to make its French fries.
Ooh.
More French fries, better chance you're not going to lose your hair.
Couldn't you just skip the fries and put the oil on your head?
It's a fair point.
That sounds like that would hurt.
It's a fair point.
Be a little burning. Hot.
Yeah, you have to leave your head in there until the thing starts beeping.
Yeah, but if you got hair.
Now, they haven't actually quantified the amount of fries you'd have to eat to keep your hair.
It'd be a lot of fries.
I think it's a lot of fries.
Yeah.
So you have to eat the fries, not rub the oil.
Yeah, you eat as many fries as you can, then you have a heart attack, but you die with a great head of hair.
Yeah, then you don't care if you've got hair or not. Yeah.
Dean, I don't know. There's a heating pad involved. It gets too crazy at times.
No, that's yogurt.
Oh, sorry.
That's my mother's yogurt.
That's the yogurt.
Secret recipe.
What's Elton John doing?
Elton John just announced some new concert dates. You know, Steve, he's going on this farewell tour.
Hadn't heard.
It's a farewell tour. This is not in any way about making extra money before he retires from touring. His two shows that he announced at the United Center sold out right away. And just this morning, Steve, just minutes ago, really, they announced two new shows at the Allstate Arena this time. It's going to be February 15th and 16th of next year, of 2019.
Ah.
But pre-sale tickets are going to go on sale this coming Thursday morning, and tickets for general public Friday the 16th at 10 o'clock.
He is 70? Is he 70 yet?
I think he's a little past 70.
Is he? And he's got young children.
Yep.
A couple of them, right?
I believe 8 and 10 years old.
And he wants to retire in the next 3 years so he can spend time with his kids. I would just throw this out there. You need to get out now. You know, you're at an age, my friend, where things aren't guaranteed. So, unless the kids are coming on the road with you, I would say he needs to get out sooner than later.
He's got a lot. There's a lot of money that's rolling on these 3 years. So apparently he feels confident enough that he'll make it through the 3 years. And look at all the money that he'll be able to leave his kids.
That's a very good point.
If you go with Steve's scenario that he's going to drop any day now.
Even though his kids won't know him because he'll never be with them.
Well, they know his hairpiece.
They have a fake Elton John. By the way, he'll be 70 years old on March 25th.
So it's coming up.
Yeah.
All right. You got tickets for Black Panther?
Yes, we are giving them away. This is going to be one of the hottest movies of the year.
This is the movie about Eldridge Cleaver?
This is not the movie about Eldridge Cleaver or Fred Hampton. None of those Black Panthers.
Okay.
This is about the Marvel Comics series Black Panther that stars Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, that's different.
Michael B. Jordan, one of the greatest Chicago Bulls of all time. if he didn't have that middle initial B, Lupita Nyong'o, and so many others that will open February 16th. We've got tickets for an advanced screening of this at the Navy Pier IMAX.
Any white people in this movie?
There are white people in this movie. Yes, there are, as a matter of fact. You can register to win the tickets by going to WGNTV.com/contest. And we're going to give away those tickets on Thursday. But I thought, why not let the radio listeners in on this also?
The Dow just started its work day and immediately went down 200 points at the opening.
Uh-oh.
It's now down 500, 525, 527. Hey, hold on to something.
Let me find a good headline for the bottom of the hour here.
Yeah.
Has the president commented on any of this?
No, he has not taken credit for the losses.
He's not braggadocious. Come on.
Yeah, that's the other thing I want to do before you go. I have a clip from yesterday, which is endlessly entertaining. You know, we all know somebody that really is desperately in the need of a mirror. Just so you could actually go, oh, that's who I am. Here's Donald Trump, president of these United States, yesterday in Cincinnati. Joe, roll it when you're ready.
You know, some of you have heard me sing this as a private business person. We're losing all our jobs. We're losing our companies. They're coming back. It's your grit, it's your pride, and your determination to do the job right. It's the foundation of American strength and the key to America's future. But, you know, you can work hard, but if you don't have the right leader setting the right tone, in all fairness, I'm not even saying, I am non-braggadocious. But if I don't set a tone like you're not going to keep taking our jobs, you're not going to keep doing what you're doing, and where do you see what's happening over there?
I mean, those were his people that were laughing at him.
Not braggadocious.
Ah, he's adorable. All right, Dean, back to TV for you.
Thank you, Steve, and enjoy your morning, won't you?
Yes, I will. Thank you for that. Oh, the Dow's rallying. We're only down 443 now.
That's a rally, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a 125-point rally.
Totally solid, yeah. It is 8:32. We need a break right before the headlines. We'll do that here on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Andrea's News, sponsored by the hip and knee center.com. The Coach Q Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Coach Q will join us in just a second. Hawks have Calgary tonight, Dallas Thursday night, and then in Minnesota Saturday night. You're traveling as much as you are, Dave.
And more, actually. But then they're home for a good long stretch after the two games at home. Then three on the road, including the game you're going to see out in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll come home for five games. So seven of the next 10 at home. And this is a critical stretch here as the schedule ticks down towards 20 games after this.
It's a must-win type situation.
It is.
Yep.
It is.
Let's go to Coach Q right now. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning.
Thanks for jumping on, as always. And it is a must-win type situation. All you can do is coach them and put them on the ice.
Well, we're in a tough spot here, and it's almost like we got to have must-win mentality almost every single night here.
Right.
And we got to win some home games. That's we've put ourselves in a tough stretch with our last homestand here. And, the last game with Calgary would have been nice to get two against a team we're battling for and positioning as well. And so that makes even more magnifying the importance of today's game.
Is there anything with seasoned vets that fires you up after losing just a couple of days before to go, now these guys are coming in, we're going to pay them back for Saturday?
I think that both games we had against them were very competitive games. Both tough endings, knowing that getting a point and not getting a chance at the other one, at the extra one, those hurt. And I think that I think we got to move on. That this is a chance to play well on home ice against a team that we know very well here in I think there's motivation across the board here. We got to have more consistency in our game across the board. You know, we got a new line tonight that has a potential to do some damage offensively and be productive defensively as well. So it's a I like the line. The four lines that we got going tonight, and you know, we're going to need a nice solid D and strong goaltending again.
What's the new line? What's the mix-up?
We've got Hartsey in the middle with Sauter and Sharpie.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, it's got interesting makeup there. There's a little bit of everything. I think there's a lot of offense there and guys that can make plays and handle the puck.
We'll get Dave Ennett in here, but is there any Corey Crawford news?
Crow skated 3 days in a row. He's going on the ice here shortly on his own there with Jimmy. And, I think we'll get a better indication when he gets in practicing with the whole team. And I don't think it'll be too far when we get him in that setting.
Good. Need him. All right, Dave.
Yeah, but what kind of response do you expect from Saad, who's obviously not pleased with the way the season's gone for him?
Well, I think every player has stretches where you're playing well. Some stretches, the puck's not as friendly as you would like, or you're fighting it a little bit. You still think you got to play the strong team game and make a commitment or a contribution to what's going to be constructive to your line mates or the team game. And Sauter does a nice job killing penalties, but I think that one of his strengths is what he adds to our team with his speed and his offensive contribution. And I think that's what we're looking for, and I think that he is playing his best when he has the puck and he's coming down on the wing, he's cutting in, and he's around the net and has more of the puck, and I think that's our puck possession game gets enhanced with him having it more, and I think that's an area where a team can be better at as well.
Joel, do you see anything different in the way your players are going about their business facing this must-win scenario that they're not really accustomed to? Do you see anything in their body language or just the way they go about their business day to day?
It's an everyday grind. The season is always like that. We're sitting in positions where we like where we're at the top of the division or top of the conference, where we got a lot of confidence in our game. We're looking forward to the game. What to expect from one another, game in, game out. A little bit of unpredictability in our team game has been probably there all year long, and it's probably us with the puck that's probably been the part that we have to be better at. So I think that hasn't changed much, and I just think that that's kind of our focus going into most games. The structure defensively is pretty comparable. Individually, I think everybody wants to win. Everybody wants us to be ahead of where we're at right now.
Sure.
The thing that's important is we got to be better at home, and I think that's look at teams' records. I think everybody would take our road record and think that if we're better at home, we'd be we probably wouldn't be anywhere near the spot we're in.
Yeah, it's funny too, because that's what's so weird about this year. It's just as Blackhawk fans are go, well, this isn't the Hawks. We haven't been in this position before. But man, imagine how good you're going to feel if the team gets on a run here, makes the playoffs, and goes on a run there. It can happen, kids. You got to have faith. Am I right, Coach?
Absolutely. You got to believe that we can do it. And then I know that everybody has their run over the course of the season, and there's no better time than today. It can happen. We feel that we got a really busy stretch starting tonight, and we got a lot of games against really good teams and very important games as well. None bigger than the next three we play. So it's a that's where it's got to start. And we'll get two at home here to begin it, and let's get something going here.
Before I let you go, I run into a lot of nice people, as I know you do as well, and everybody's got a theory on what's going on with the Blackhawks. But the one thing I hear more often than not is, man, we miss Hossa. Is there one thing that Marian Hossa brought that you're really missing this year?
Well, one thing about Hoss, you got an appreciation for him playing the perfect game. Plays the system to a T, both sides of the puck. Has the puck a lot. Protects it, keeps it, puts it in good areas. And I think that's, I think without the puck defensively in his own zone or killing penalties, you get a nice contribution. And offensively, you get that consistency of him being around the net and making plays and having the puck. And so it seems like your control shifts a lot with Hoss. you know, that's what it is. And, you know, certainly, you know, those are, you know, there's always guys you miss in the past,
sure.
And he's definitely a key guy in what he's brought the organization for a number of years. And, but that consistency and predictability, game in, game out, you know what you get from hosts. And I think that's been a little bit missing from our team game.
Yeah, it's tough minutes to fill. He was a special player. Super Bowl, did you watch it?
What a game.
Well, crazy, right?
It was a spectacular game.
Yeah. And the Eagles get one. They've never had one before. Who was your first Stanley Cup with?
Colorado.
Do you remember what that felt like?
It was spectacular. It's good as it gets. 1996. Seems like a couple years ago.
Yeah, but yeah. You know what I'm saying, or where I'm going here. For the Eagles and Eagles fans to finally get one, it's really special, but it's super special for those guys playing because...
Oh, it's a great feeling. It's a great great accomplishment. Town goes crazy, and you know, a lot of years where they've had some good teams and they didn't get the job done, and they had some tough years recently, and then you know, especially maybe not on the radar at the beginning of the year and end up winning. Yeah. Certainly it's great for Eagles fans, and you know, there's a lot of them.
Dave, last word.
Well, as you look down the road here, and obviously we've I guess hammered home the point about how important these games are. When you're playing teams that are the teams you're battling for that playoff spot, like Calgary tonight, Minnesota coming up this weekend. I know you're only focused on the Flames right now. Do those games take on any greater importance, or at this point, it's just every game is really the same because you just need points any way you can get them?
Well, we need them any way we can get them, but certainly the meaning of getting the 2 points against a team that's battling for you, it makes it even more important. And that's why Saturday's game was a tough one. You know, that 3-point swing was huge. And but that's you know, now we got to find out how important these 4-point swing can be for us, and take care of what we can take care of. And I think that with Dallas next and Minnesota as well. So it's a there's definitely some important games, but. You know, we need wins, and then you can watch the other games as well. But we got to control what the games we have in our own control, and that's like tonight, none bigger.
The Olympics start this week. I don't know how much Olympic hockey you're going to be able to watch. Going to be different this year because the pros aren't on the ice necessarily. But is there anybody that you're aware of from Windsor that's jumping out that we ought to watch on that Canadian team?
Windsor.
Isn't that where you were born, or am I making that up? I thought you were born in Windsor.
Oh, I am. I'm thinking of Windsor guys on the Canadian team. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be fun hockey. It's going to be competitive as heck. These guys got a lot to prove. They're going to be proud as heck to a chance to represent their countries and to win gold. And it's wide open. It'll everybody be watching. Everybody be tuned in. The timing of it might be interesting. But I'm sure it's going to make the unpredictability about it is going to be huge. And I think it's going to be real close. Could be some surprises. It'll be fun to watch.
Tonight at the Madhouse. Thursday night at the Madhouse and a bunch of home games to come. Hey, fans, let's make this place louder than it's ever been. Because the boys love noise
Which
when they're home.
Tough to do because it's been pretty loud.
Yeah, yeah. Let's really crank it up. Thank you, Coach.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That's Coach Joel Quenneville.
And, you know, by the way, last time Philadelphia played for a championship before Sunday, it's against the Blackhawks and the Flyers.
Oh, that's right.
2010.
The missing puck game.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right? Missing puck? Yeah. It's missing puck game. Yeah.
Game
that was the first
2010 final.
And they never found it, right?
Steve's got it.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
912, you just heard Mary Vandeveld mention Rick Steves, the travel show coming up. His new book is Travel as a Political Act, and he joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Nice to talk to you. Hey, what's your middle name?
My middle name is John. I never use it, though.
Rick John Steves. We have got to get you a last name. Somewhere. Listen, the new book, Travel is a Political Act. We live in a time where everybody's down. Everybody's feeling very dark about things. But, you know, you can get a good perspective on America by going abroad, can't you?
I contend that in my book, and Travel as a Political Act, I say you can learn a lot about our country by looking at it from afar. And you can also see some of the problems that we're not dealing with smartly, what happens when they get out of hand, when we go to other countries that are seeing that problem more developed and farther along. There's so much we can learn by getting out of our comfort zone and hanging out with other people who see things, smart people who see things differently than we do.
Rick, love your books, love your TV specials that I watch all the time, and I've learned so much about you and actually different customs from traveling. When I went to the Holy Land, I experienced a little bit of, culture shock, when to wear a headscarf, when to wear a skirt. How do these different cultures let us as tourists know that, and do they appreciate when we try to learn their customs?
That's a great question.
Like wearing the headscarves?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's certain sensibilities, really. I mean, when you travel, I don't spend a lot of time wondering, am I supposed to touch this with my left hand or my right hand, or am I supposed to bring flowers or whatever. But if all the women are wearing scarves over their head, that's the sensitive thing to do. You want to fit in. I try to be a cultural chameleon, actually. I if it's a country where nobody's drinking alcohol, I don't drink alcohol. If it's a country where, people eat dinner late, I try to eat dinner late.
It's their house. Have respect for their rules.
It's respect, yeah, and I'm not going to judge it. Why would Hindus take better care of their cows than their children? Well, there's a reason. There are hundreds of millions of people living in a country with almost no trees, and cows provide fuel through their cow droppings, and you want to take care of your cows because without the cow pies, you can't cook tonight.
Right.
The more you travel, the more you learn, and the more it humbles your ethnocentricity. And, Andrea, I was just in the Holy Land also, and mm-hmm. I really learned the unintended consequences of a wall. There's a big wall they've built, a big, beautiful, as some people would say, wall between Palestine and Israel, and what it's done is it stopped the younger generations from talking to each other, so they're both saddled with their parents' perspective.
Yep.
With no chance to get together, and that's not a good way to build peace. Now, Israel, on the other hand, has actively worked to get the younger generations together. They've funded summer camps where Protestant and Catholic kids go and they learn how to dance together, and today Israel is living in peace with no walls while other countries are building walls. So there's hard issues out there, and we can learn from other people's struggles, and for me, that's just a beautiful thing. And with my travel, I've spent a lifetime encouraging people to travel just to enjoy the sightseeing and having a great vacation. And with Travel as a Political Act, I'm encouraging people to get out of their comfort zone, never take any risk. I've never gone anywhere that's risky, but I've gone to places like Cuba and Russia and Palestine and Iran where I've had life-changing experiences.
That was quite an experience, too, Rick, when I was, near, I guess, at the Golden Dome, and then a few blocks away is the Wailing Wall, and then I was telling Steve right. A few blocks away, there's a Catholic church, or a Christian
yeah.
church. So it's
City
so
of Three Faiths.
But I find that, too, that a lot of the young people from the different customs and cultures, they do talk with each other, and it is about peace.
Oh, they want to talk. They want to live together, and that's the cool thing about a young generation, but it does carry the burden of their parents' perspective. I was at a refugee camp in Palestine. By the way, you can bicycle from where Christians believe Jesus was born in Bethlehem to where he was crucified in Jerusalem in less than half an hour.
How about that?
A day. But there's a wall between those two countries, and the people who live in Bethlehem basically can't go to Jerusalem, and the people who live in Jerusalem basically can't go to Bethlehem. So it's a complicated world, and we travelers can walk across that wall just as an American would walk from San Diego to Tijuana across that border. But I just was very impressed when I was just hearing both narratives, and it was very poignant. I went to a refugee camp, and there's huge teeming refugee camps in Palestine, and grubby little kids are running around with plastic guns shooting imaginary Jews, and I thought, that's terrible. And then I go to a settlement, an Israeli settlement, like a gated community, and there's grubby little kids in the park there running around with plastic guns shooting imaginary Palestinian terrorists. And I thought, that's sad, too. And then I thought, well, when I was a little kid, what was I doing? I was a grubby little kid. My parents gave me guns every Christmas, and I was killing commies, or I was killing Germans or Japs or whatever.
A few years before, yeah, imaginary Indians.
Yeah, so we get where the kids get their parents' baggage and even arm our kids. And we can overcome that when we get to know each other. And that's what I love about travel is we gain, we humanize the other 96% of humanity. And I'm not saying there's no bad guys out there, but boy, when you go to faraway lands and meet people, it makes it tougher for their propaganda to demonize us. And then when we come home, it makes it tougher for our propaganda to dehumanize them.
Amen.
And that's a positive thing.
It's a great message. Rick Steves, the book is Travel as a Political Act. Get two copies. You're careless. You lose the first one. And pardon me.
Thank you.
To continue on the line of what Andrea's question was about, took the family to Paris a couple of years ago. And, we did our best to try to learn at least the language to get around a little bit. Also, as an attempted show of respect, that at least we're trying. We're not talking louder in English. To see if they'll get it. But also greeted by some people as, oh, God, you're an idiot. That look, that face. Is it a good idea to pick up serviceable language skills when you travel to a foreign country?
You know, sure, it's a good idea, but I don't do it. I'm terrible at that. I speak only English, and it sort of substantiates what I say because I go all around the country. I'll be at the travel show in Chicago this weekend, and inspiring and encouraging people to travel. And Americans are notoriously monoglots. We speak English because English is the world's linguistic common denominator. This is the language that works. It's never hindered my travels on the surface. Of course, if I understood a foreign language or could use a foreign language, I'd have a better connection. But that doesn't excuse me from being thoughtful about learning the polite words and showing respect for the culture. And when it comes to France, you know, it's just flat out rude to walk into a shop and not say bonjour, madame.
Right.
And to say, when you leave, say merci, au revoir. And any American who cares can learn those words. You don't need to say it in a good accent. If they rolled their eyes, don't worry about it. It's just, my job for 30 years has been taking Americans in my tour groups over the border. We go from Switzerland into France, and I prepare my Americans to appreciate and enjoy French culture without judging it. And it's a longer issue probably than this conversation right now. But with the proper approach, you'll find the French people as enjoyable and warm and welcoming as anybody else in the world. And I would remind you, when you go to Paris in the middle of the summer and you judge French people by the Parisians you meet, you got to remember that's the time when most Parisians would like to get out of Paris, and those who are stuck with unfortunate jobs are stuck there dealing with tourists butchering their language and putting ketchup on their
feet. Yeah, so they get a little annoyed.
And they're the ones that aren't the most patient, but you can't judge them any more than the warmth you'd experience in New York in the middle of a hot summer day if you didn't speak that language. So, we got to cut people a little slack, but I just love to become a cultural chameleon and do my very best to embrace the local cultures.
It's the right thing to do.
Not to be a sophisticate. You're not going to be a sophisticate. Just be honestly curious, and I think you'll enjoy a warm welcome wherever you go.
It's Rick Steves. Travel is a political act. Last word, Andrea.
Rick, I know travel has expanded so much now, people going to places maybe they wouldn't have in the past. Cuba, Vietnam. You have an entire chapter in your new book on Iran. What are your thoughts about traveling to, I guess, what once would have been maybe a forbidden land?
Yeah, and answer it in 30 seconds because that's what we've got left.
Well, first of all, it's not dangerous. I would never go to a war zone. I think when people say have a safe trip, I say, hey, you say you have a safe stay at home because where I'm going is safer than where you're staying. And when we go to places like Cuba and Iran, we think it's a forbidden country, but the Lonely Planet guidebook to those countries sell very well because Canadians and Europeans and Aussies go there all the time. It's just us who think it's forbidden. And I just find it is so enriching to go to a place where we have misunderstandings and talk to the real people. And that's sort of the inspiration of this Travel as a Political Act book, talking Americans into going beyond Orlando.
Nice to talk to you. Have fun when you're in town here at the travel show.
All right. Happy travels. Thanks.
There you go.
Thanks, Rick.
Rick Steves, Travel as a Political Act.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. When I walk up with you, I watch the whole room change. Baby, that's what you do. No, my baby don't play. Blame it on my confidence. Or blame it on your measurements.
We're going to play JD Trivia. It's nothing like HQ Trivia because it's called JD Trivia. We don't have an app for you to download. You can do it right here. John DeCosta here. I'll have three questions for Mary, Andrea, Dave, or me.
I thought this was Jimmy Dean.
JD, Jimmy Dean?
Yeah, I was like,
Nice reference, by the way.
All the questions will be about sausage.
And Scott from Glenview as well. The way you will buzz in is to say your first name if you believe you know the answer to the question. These will be multiple choice answers. However, buzz in after the question is read once. And then take your best shot.
Oh, that sounds good.
All right, question number one.
Here we go. PETA once asked the music group Pet Shop Boys to change their name to a...
No. Stop. Anybody?
I apologize. Oh. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Anybody? All right, now give me the multiple choice, since nobody had it.
Oh, okay. A, West End Pups.
Mm-hmm.
B, Mammal Shop Boys.
Mm-hmm.
C, what have they done to deserve this?
Mm-hmm.
Or D, Rescue Shelter Boys?
Steve.
Yes.
A.
That is incorrect.
Andrea.
Ooh, I'm out.
Mary. Oh.
Andrea.
D is correct.
Yeah.
Dang it.
D is correct.
Boy, what was the answer again?
The answer was Rescue Shelter Boys.
Scott, you didn't get that one.
No.
That was so good. That was so good.
All right, question number two.
Question number two. Here we go. Hawaiian Punch was originally developed in 1934 as a tropical flavored what?
Now give me the choice.
A, dog treat.
Mm-hmm.
B, ice cream topping.
Mm-hmm.
C, sugar substitute. Or D, suntan lotion.
D. Dave.
No. Dave.
Mary.
Dave, you have to say your name. He did say his name, but he almost screwed it up.
Dave said suntan lotion.
B.
You were.
No.
Oh, B?
B.
Oh, B. I'm sorry. B is correct. Oh. B is correct.
What was the answer?
Ice cream topping.
Really?
Yeah.
Hawaiian Punch?
1934.
That would taste nasty.
Scott, you didn't get that one either.
We need buzzers.
No.
Okay. Scott didn't get that one either. We just want to make sure Scott knew he didn't get that one. Question three. What do you do, Scott, for a living?
I work in the produce business.
Yeah. He's a man of few words. You come up to Scott and you say, hey, can you tell me where the lettuce is? He goes, no. All right, go ahead, John.
No.
Okay.
Question number three. It's 1-1. Okay. Dave and Andrea Todd.
Yep.
Mary and I aren't even on the board.
No.
Scott, not on the board. Go.
Which actor does not appear in the movie Saving Private Ryan?
Nope, go.
Okay.
We could name a lot.
Yeah, because we don't have the choices.
I know, that's hysterical. That's fun. A, Ted Danson.
Mm-hmm.
B, Ralph Fiennes. C, Vin
Diesel. I don't know if it's Rafe Fiennes, but it's a good
Rafe?
Yeah.
C.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What?
C.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel. And D, Matt Damon.
Steve.
Mary.
Andrea.
Steve went first.
C, Vin Diesel.
That is incorrect.
What?
Dave. I was next.
Vin Diesel is in that movie?
Yes, he is. Yes.
Ted Danson.
I think Mary was first.
Danson. I'm sorry. Your answer was Ted Danson?
Yes, yes.
You are both incorrect.
Oh,
Mary Vandeveld.
Okay.
I forgot who the other choices were.
Dave.
Yes.
Ralph.
No, wait, hold on a second. She was ahead of all of this.
Yeah, but she said she said
she
it
said
too.
She guessed Ted Danson.
I was going to guess Ted Danson.
Okay, sorry.
That's why I said they're
I'm
both
I'm just trying
out.
To be fair.
Thank you.
Dave is correct again. Dave is correct again.
Well, then he's a winner.
Rafe Fiennes.
He's a winner. Congratulations with two correct. Hey, Scott, you didn't get that one either.
No, I did not.
All right, Scott's for... Wow. Rarely, Scott, do we see someone who's 0 for 3. So you're a big winner anyway.
All right.
Okay, Scott, I'm going to try to get you to calm down because I'm a little worried about your blood pressure. I got tickets to the Buffalo Theater Ensemble's performance of Time Stand Still through March 4th at the MAC at the College of DuPage. Get your tickets at themac.org. That's at themac.org. I'm going to get you a MyPillow because you could use some sleep, Scott. You're working too hard. MyPillow.com. And then I'm going to get you some pizza from Lou Malnati's and 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Order online at loumalnati's.com. How's that, Scott?
Good. That'll help my diet.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
And, Scott, how'd you do in the contest?
Bad.
Okay. All right. That's a man of many words. No, bad. We need a break. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
And that's your money on 720 WGN.
Hey, yesterday you brought up if you just could get one thing, you'd like to be tooling down Michigan Avenue in a 1949 Chrysler.
Right.
And Doc Emmerich, you know the great Doc Emmerich.
Yes.
Doc was nice enough to send us an ad he found online for a 1949 Chrysler.
You're kidding.
No, and it's
what
beautiful.
What was the price?
I am looking now because I want to see. What do you think you would have paid for it?
Probably about $3,000.
Yeah, I thought $2,500, $3,000. You know what? I can't. Well, maybe. Let me see if I can get this here. I'm looking here, looking. Oh, it's got some really fine ad copy, but it doesn't appear to have a sticker price on it. But I'm going to send you this picture because
it is. I appreciate
it.
I'd like to see it because I had that car for about 3 years.
I bet you were a chick magnet in this car. Navy blue. It's beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful. All right, so it'll be coming your way, my friend.
Okay.
And Doc Emmerich, the world-famous Doc Emmerich, was looking out for you.
Appreciate it.
I know you do. All right.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's 9:45. Quick update on an old story. Old meaning 10 days. That is old now. Remember PETA complained about the puppies that James Corden handed out to the losing comedians at the Grammys? And everybody went, oh, my God, you can't just hand out a puppy. The puppies have to be vetted. You don't know if the puppies aren't okay. It's stressful.
Right.
As we said, the puppies were part of a veterinary and animal association. And that they were watched very carefully backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very gently handled. And they were already being taken care of by this association.
Mm-hmm.
The comedians did not take the puppies home and show them their scandalous show business life. They instead go to good homes previously determined, and they were simply part of the fun of that evening.
So they didn't bring him to the Wolfgang Puck after party?
No, no, no.
Didn't go hit the In-N-Out Burger?
None of their cocaine and hookers for those puppies? Yeah. None of that. All right, if you're watching on CLTV right now, you might notice that we're all sporting gear that says in some form Fireball on it. Andrea, if you would stand up.
Yes.
Andrea, do a little fashion show here. I'm not sure which camera you ought to be on. Maybe come in between Dave and Brandon.
Okay.
And when you get over here by Dave and Brandon, Marty's here. Mark Doyle is here as well. Brandon, why don't you tell me what Andrea is wearing? Perfect, right there.
Andrea is wearing a Fireball whiskey onesie. No booties, but just the full onesie. Yeah.
And it's got Fireball across your butt. So what does that mean?
So we're here to talk about a number of things. But number one, we wanted to invite Andrea back. So if you remember last year, she joined us for the Warrior Games team with Polar Plunge.
Yeah.
And this year, we're going to have Fireball Whiskey is partnering with Veteran Roasters Cup of Joe. And we are plunging at March 4th in Chicago's Polar Plunge.
Well, why don't you invite me? I mean, I'm not going to come, but you didn't invite me at all.
Well, you're always invited, Steve.
Yes.
But, of course.
I mean, I'll contribute. I'll donate.
Well, we appreciate
that. I'm going to jump in the lake. What am I, crazy?
It was fantastic. It was for a great cause. And I'm drinking my Veteran Roasters coffee today,
which you were raving about before these guys walked in the room.
So it's like the full ensemble. I accept.
All right. There we go.
I'd love to have Dave and Steve come with me, but
yeah.
Steve, that, I know, probably has other
don't see
plans,
that working out for you.
Maybe,
but, I'll make
will.
A very generous donation.
Nice.
I'll have to get back to you on that. I might be able to this year because it's normally the same day.
Have you ever jumped in?
I have not.
Dave,
because it's
so
been on the same
fun.
Day as the Fight for Air Climb.
Are you going to do it
but
this
it's
year?
Not this year. It's a different
so
day.
This is something you've always wanted to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Because that's interesting, because if it's something you always wanted to do, I'll throw you out of a plane without a parachute as well. Just, I mean, you know, if you were looking for that
that's
kind of
nothing
climb.
I've ever wanted
wait,
to
Steve,
do.
Wait, Steve, and it is, with it, this is the whole initiative is Fireball,
uh-huh.
which is a liquor. So,
oh, that explains it.
Maybe,
no wonder
Dave?
You want to be involved. Free hooch.
That's got nothing to do with
totally
it.
Totally makes sense now.
It warms the heart and the body after the plunge.
And before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. So congratulations,
that's going to
Brandon.
Take.
Nicely
thank
done
you.
By
yeah,
you.
Thank you, Brandon. Absolutely.
We'll go back to the coffee in a second. I want to talk to Mark Doyle as well here about Rags of Honor. They had our backs. Let's keep the shirt on theirs. You're doing something pretty cool. And you told me about this, I don't know, a couple of months ago. And it's a sleep out for homeless vets. And going to sleep on the street. People get a real sense of what it's like to be homeless. And when is it happening?
February 23rd.
And it's really the brainchild of this young man to my left, Brandon Marty, who is now running both operations, not only Rags of Honor for me, but the Veteran Roasters Cup of Joe. Thank God. Maybe we can one of these years turn a profit.
Well, don't go crazy.
Don't go crazy.
So the Sleep Out for Homeless Vets, the goal here is what? Awareness?
Two things. One is to raise awareness of the plight that still exists. In Chicago alone, the mayor has done an amazing job getting folks off the street, but there's still 800 who are homeless. And this year, 300,000 veterans will be homeless for at least one night. And so
how is that even possible?
We've been through this 100 times.
I know, but it's just unconscionable.
Yeah, it's unconscionable. And so we're going to go and sleep out underneath Lower Wacker, and then we have a few other little stops to make for the night. But we also want to raise some money for Rags of Honor One, of course, is our non-for-profit arm that makes sure that veterans who need a little help come to us, and we get them a place to live and any supplies that they need to just get out of the jam they're in.
The primary location, Brandon, is the location of the stalled Chicago Veterans Home?
You're correct. Yes, Steve. So Mark mentioned kind of the two things. We're driving awareness as well as raising money. But we also want to bring awareness. Obviously, we hear a lot about recently the Quincy Home. Downstate, oh, yeah. But in November, the Sun-Times and a number of other media outlets did some great stories around the stalled veterans home here in Chicago as well.
Right.
So obviously, that's not a home for homeless veterans, but for seniors. And there's so many seniors on the waiting list in Illinois and around the country that homes like this are obviously very important. So we want to bring light to that. We're not trying to be partisan. We think veterans should come first and foremost, and financially, this is something that has been in the works.
Be partisan about that.
There you go. But this is something that has been in the works for 10 years, and it should be done by now. And it's still there's not a body out there working on the site. So
you can follow on social media. You can join the team. You can donate, and let's get veterans off the street and give them a chance to prop up their lives and maximize their lives the way Mark has been doing and the team at Rags of Honor have been doing for years now. You can go to ragsofhonor.org, or how else can we donate?
You can also go to CrowdRiser and type in Chicago Sleep Out for Homeless Veterans well and donate there.
We'll talk about coffee when we come back.
It'd be great. Love to.
Yeah, Andrea raving about your coffee.
Oh, it's so good.
Going on and on.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Mark Doyle and Brandon Marty here from Rags of Honor and Veterans Roasters. Brandon, how's coffee?
Coffee's great. We just launched, as we told you, at the end of last year with Del Frisco's restaurants. You can find our coffee, and that's being served nationwide at Del Frisco's.
Frisco's does it's like a shrimp toast thing. Which ought to be illegal.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. So great restaurant to be tied up with.
Great restaurant. And they've been so supportive in the things that they're looking to do for veterans, not only in serving their coffee, but also employment and other ways. It's phenomenal. So it's a great partnership.
Let's go live to Andrea for a review of Veteran Roasters.
I love my coffee, and I really mean it. It's strong coffee. It's delicious, and you don't even need to add a lot of cream and sugar, if any. I know you're not supposed to add any in general.
How about that?
And I'm a
so good
snob.
You don't need to add anything.
Yep.
Well, that's bad for me because I don't know if I like coffee, but I love cream and sugar. So I just use the coffee as a delivery system.
Right, I understand. It's got to slide down somehow.
So good, though. It's a good roast.
So if people want to order Veteran Roasters, not just to help because they'd like a nice cold brew or great coffee themselves, what do they do to pick it up?
VeteranRoasters.com or Amazon and all throughout the Chicagoland Pete's Markets as well. So you can find us all over. Can I do two quick promos as well?
I think you just did, but continue.
I appreciate it. David Hochburn and Teeb Hochburn, we're doing a promotion with them. They're sending out a bag for every mortgage that they sell here this year in 2018, as well as they're giving out a coupon. And it's not only good for the people that get a mortgage through them, but also other listeners. Just type in that VeteranRoasters.com, Team Hochburn, and you buy one bag, get the second bag 50% off. And we just launched our dark roast, our Night Ops dark roast, last week. And with the Sleep Out coming out, we're giving 25% off of all dark roast purchases online at veteranroasters.com. So go there and type in Sleep Out. And
nice.
You can get your dark roast and try it.
It's so worth it. I mean, seriously, if you love coffee, it's absolutely delicious. And you're going to buy coffee anyway. help out a good cause.
And do it the right way. Get better coffee and help a good cause.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Rags of Honor, they had our back. Let's keep the shirt on theirs. The sleep out is coming. And what you just said is probably the best way to hook up for information. But also donations at ragsofhonor.org. Oh, you can also, where can you see the Joe Madden PSA that you guys did?
Go to YouTube.
Yep, you have a YouTube channel?
We do have a YouTube channel, just Veteran Roasters.
Yeah, okay.
And you'll also see he just did one for the sleepout for us as well.
Nice.
A great one prior to him heading out for spring training.
So, how great is that?
Great
Very
guy.
Cool.
Good
great
for
guy.
You, manager Joe Madden.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job, Skipper.
Great guy.
Well done. Mark Doyle, anything else from you?
Thank you for your continued support. I mean that. What you all do here, and Todd Manley and the entire crew, to continue to help us hire veterans, keep them on their feet, keep growing the mission, means so much to us. Thank you.
Oh, it's nice of you to say. But if you ever call me and I go, not a chance, then there's something wrong with me.
Right?
Right? Good to see you guys.
Thank you. Great seeing you.
Right. Thanks for the gear.
Thanks.
Look forward to seeing you March 4th.
Sounds like
I've
we'll be there
never
right
looked cooler.
You have not.
Back with Bill and Wendy next.
Yesterday.
I'll turn my own microphone on. That might help. Yesterday. Warren Buffett lost $5 billion in one trading day.
That's a bad day.
How'd you guys do?
I don't even know. I don't care.
Did not lose $5 billion yesterday.
You don't have $5 billion.
I can't even think of what that's like.
I did check.
But I would be sad all day long.
Oh, no, it's no question. I did check. I lost $37.50.
Did you lose
$37.50? Yeah, I'm hoping to make it back today. Yeah.
Are you all right?
I'm all right.
Like $37.50 or $37,000?
Yeah. $37.50. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You poor baby.
Right? Thank you. I know that's legitimate. You're not just mocking me.
It's real.
So, again, anything you want to plug?
There's an author on.
F you very much.
Wendy, Steve asked me a question, and I'm going to answer his question. There's an author on who wrote a book.
F you very much.
Hey, easy. Man. I thought she liked me, man. She's really
this is
mean.
Wendy in a good mood. Catch her in a bad mood sometimes.
People are rude these days. We're going to find out why and how to solve the problem of rudeness.
And the book is called F You Very Much?
Yeah. Isn't that fun to say?
It's kind of funny.
It is fun to say. Yeah.
All right. Stand by as Bill and Wendy audio flip you off between now and noon. We'll see you tomorrow.